And in Psalm 139, we begin at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! David is speaking to the Lord about God fashioning him before he was even taking his first breath, deep inside of his mother. Even before then, God knew what he wanted David to be. This psalm is not specific for only David, it's for each one of us. And this morning when we look at it, I hope and my prayer is that what he understood, that each one of us will understand in a few moments. It is one of the most powerful messages and encouraging messages I've ever come across. Because of what he understood and why he could face down lions in a desert and in a jungle coming after sheep and bears. And why he could face a gigantic Philistine named Goliath without fear. Why he could do that. There's something he knew. A peace inside that he talks about in this psalm. And sometimes we need to hear what he's thinking and how he understands who God is so we can do the same. And if you would bow with me for a word of prayer, we'll ask the Lord to prepare us for what he has for us. Heavenly Father, you are perfect in all your ways. And we come before you asking that you would reveal to us your heart for us. To show us more meticulously, more carefully, more specifically why you made us the way you've made us and the purposes you've created us for. Tell us, Lord, why we are here. Heavenly Father, we've read in places where we are here to give you praise, to give you thanks. Indeed, that's a very general purpose, but you have something specific for each one of us. Help us to come to terms with that this morning, Lord. Help us to understand it and be more clear about it. I ask you, Lord, that our hearts would be strangely warmed and our lives would be full of the joy that comes from knowing that you know us perfectly. And now as we come, speak to us. Teach us. Let your Holy Spirit open our eyes and the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our mind. That our mind's eye would see clearly. Heavenly Father, open the door to that revelation of yourself to us. We ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ, in so doing that the words in my mouth, that the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. There are so many different ways to present the power behind what David says in this passage. I really like this, and it only came across my attention yesterday that I had learned this a few years ago. What David says in this psalm is that God knew what He was doing when He made him. That was an intentional handiwork. Now, I say that's not just about David. That's about each one of us. God knew what He was doing when you were being formed and fashioned to be what you are before you were ever born. God knew. Do you agree with me? Some folks say, well, God didn't know what He was doing real well. He'd have made you look better. That was your fault. Because God did not make you bad. God did not make you wrong. God did not make you any other way than the way He intended you to come out. He intended you to be born in the time and the place, to the parents, to the people in your life. You could have been fashioned and formed days later, days before, years before, years later, different time and place, but God chose your moment. If you want to think about that, think about it like this, that God was so meticulous about birth orders and time of being born that He had said beforehand through prophets what lineage, what time, and etc., that His own Son would be born. He put that in writing for us. So we wouldn't question that He knew what He was doing. That is how meticulous God is. He did the same thing for each one of us. I had someone say to me one time, I wish I wasn't born like this. I have a problem with my emotional balance. I wish God wouldn't have done that. As a matter of fact, why would God do that? Very upset about it. And I said quite simply, because you have a gift of that emotional imbalance. You ever heard, saw someone look at me before like I was crazy? They did. He said, how can you call this a gift? This is something that hinders me. It's a handicap on my life. And I said, yeah, but you can talk to other people in the same situation and understand that I can never. You have the gift, once you get a hold of this and get it under balance, so you can talk to people just like you are and bring gift of hope. I can say Jesus cares for you, He might help you, but I'll never be able to say, and He did for me too. But you will. All of a sudden they began to see that, hey, this might be a blessing. We always look at things and say, well, God, why is it not perfect? I tell you, you were created perfectly. You came out like you were supposed to come out. God knew. In Jeremiah 29, if you've ever read that passage, it says this, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, a hope, and a future. You should call upon me, you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, which means your enslavement to the way you think. Do you know there are folks in prison who are more free than people walking around because they have a Lord that loves them in their despair? That they're free from anything a man can do to them now. But there are people who don't even know Jesus that have never been in prison and they're miserable. Captivity is a state of mind. We had a director at the program, the one that was there the long time. And he said, when consequences were brought on a client for misbehaving or violating a rule, that it was not punishment. Punishment is a state of mind. If you look at it as a learning tool, it's a gift. If you lose a privilege, think of it as something that's honing you to be a better person. And you'll receive it. Even Scripture says, if you're thankful for what God is teaching you, though it may be uncomfortable, you'll thank Him as a gift. But we don't always look at our life and our circumstances as gifts. We ask God to change them, like Paul did with this thorn in his flesh. 3 times he asked God to remove it, and God said no. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, I'm going to boast upon my weakness then. For when I am weakest, that is when God is strongest in me. God is not asking for your ability, but your availability and your willingness. He's not asking you to do something you cannot do. He's asking you to take the way He made you and let it be given back to Him. I don't know how long ago this was, but I was a kid. I'm not remembering how long ago I was a kid. But I was a kid, and I was in elementary school. We had a glass sitting on our kitchen counter that said, "For all that has been given, thanks. For all that will be, yes." On the other side, it said, what you are is God's gift to you. What you give back to God is your gift to God. What you make of your life. And we think sometimes people get in a victim mentality. Well, it always happens to me. They're always trying to hurt me. They're always trying to make me feel bad. They're always trying to do this or that. That is a mindset. Nobody is trying to do anything to you to exploit you. You're in a mindset, and the devil's got you stopped and trapped up so you cannot live free. It's not fun. I promise you, if God has made you the way you are and likes you that way, then it's okay. If God made you this way, I'm okay with it. I'm satisfied. You know, it took me over 30 years to get comfortable in my own skin. I don't know how long it took some of y'all, but it took me over 30 years to finally realize. Matter of fact, when I was turning 40 is when I really started seeing a difference. About the time I came here, and y'all remember, don't you? I was turning 40 for like 2 months. I mean, I was having a good time with people going, "That's old, you're going over the hill." And I said, "No, I'm finally out of them stupid 30s. I finally got something where people with me go, wow, you're 40? Some reason when I turned 40, people started to see me differently. All of a sudden, the whole world changed when I turned 40. All I did was turn 40. But my attitude changed. The world didn't. It's still going crazy. Probably worse now. But all of a sudden, I realized that I'm a person that God made and He likes the way I am and I like it too. For some reason He said, this is how I want you, that's how I made you. You might as well like it and get comfortable in your own skin and trust that the blessing that people say you have and trust it wherever you go. It's taken me a long time to hear someone say, you know, you're really good at this. You're really good at doing this. You ought to do it more often. And you know, when people say that, I go, well, you must not have heard too many people do this then. Always discrediting the messenger. Because of the messenger. But if God is trying to lift you up and build you up, why would you tell Him no? If God says you have a gift and a talent, why would you tell Him you don't? He made you that way. There are things people say to you like, you're really good with your hands in construction. And you go, oh, no, I'm not. I didn't have any training or education, so I really can't be good at it. After about 50 million projects done perfectly each time, you might think you might be mistaken and you might be pretty good at it. You might be able to make stuff out of wood you didn't even know that it was easy for you. I can make stuff out of wood. It's called a burn pile. I'm good at that. Just drag it over there and set it down. I can do that. Cut it, shape it. No, not me. I can look at a book, a music book, and I see the notes go up and down so far, and I guess.
You see all four at the same time, bless the Word. I don't know how you do that. I have to look at the words in the notes separately. And I don't always see the right words. Ask Genevieve. She'll tell you if you don't ask. But what I'm saying is, that's a gift. That's something you work hard. And when someone says, you do that so well, you might say, no, no, no. Well, I can't do that. But that isn't what God made me to do. He designed me for a different purpose. And when you begin to get comfortable with who you are in God's creation, that's what happens when you begin to blossom. What David says is, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what I've just read for you in Psalm 139. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Because God could have made me anyway. He could have made me a good singer. He could have made me 6 foot tall. But if I'd have been 6 foot tall, I'd have been dead. So I'm glad I'm not 6 foot tall. I'm glad I was 4 foot eight when I got into a car wreck that should have taken my life. Because when I was 4 foot eight, I was playing football on the freshman team. That's right, 4 foot eight, freshman year. I'm serious. I was 4 foot eight, and I wasn't the shortest kid. The shortest kid, little Scotty Neckerman. He was 4 foot two. And we had a trick play, put the two short guys in. The next shortest guy, me, throw it to the shortest guy, Scotty. They didn't ever think of that. They'd say, well, no, he wouldn't throw it to him. Well, they had that trick play. It didn't work. But I was 4 foot eight, and I was one of the littlest guys, and so I didn't get to start in football my freshman year. If I'd have been 5 foot four, my coach said I would have started every single game. Because I was the best, what they call block and hole filler, he's ever seen. And even at 4 foot eight, I could shuck off a 6 foot guy off to the side and catch the guy with the ball coming to the same hole. 4 foot eight, I could do. He said, man, if you was bigger than your britches, we'd win state. But if I'd have been bigger than my britches, I'd have started and I would have had my neck broke. Because unbeknownst to anybody at that time, I had a birth defect. Wasn't until after football season and a car wreck and after I grew 10 inches that they discovered that birth defect and then fused my neck. When they did that, I was 5 foot six. Less than a year later, I was 5 foot six. If I had found it after the next season of football started, I'd have been dead because I was big enough. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to work things out for you. He knows how to bring things to pass in your life because He's made you for a reason. He didn't say, oops, I was not born with a birth defect. I was born with a blessing. I was born with something that made me have compassion for people who end up in halo braces. I can minister to those folks. Folks who lay in traction. I can talk to them. I've been there. I know what it's like to lay in a hospital bed for 3 weeks and wonder if you're ever going to walk again. I can talk to people about that. But if I hadn't had it, there are four or five people in this planet I couldn't have understood. I'd have looked at them as nuts or freaks. But instead I look at them and I go up to them and say, I had one of them. Must be. Man, you hate it when they tighten that thing up, don't you? Man, I hate that. People pick at you and thump it. You know, I can do that. And they say, man, you do know, don't you? I said, I was in one 12 weeks. I know what it's like. That wasn't a birth defect. It was God's plan to get me to the right place at the right time to reach the right people. But when I had to face that surgery, or else face life in fear, I wasn't so happy about it. But thank God at that point in my life was 2 months after I'd accepted Christ. Because then I could trust God for everything. There was joy in my life then. And I said, well, God will bring me through it. The doctor said, you may not live. You may not walk. And I said, you do this. God will bring me through. He said, you got more confidence than I do. I said, because I know a different God than you do. That's boldness when you're only 15 years old. And that's what happened. The doctor still remembers me. Still, when I go up there and see him and say thank you each time I'm in the ear. I still thank that man for saving my life. But I thank God for giving me the opportunity to witness to a doctor and to countless others to a birth defect. Now, let me ask you a question. Was that birth defect a mistake? There are people who say, well, it's an abnormality, so it must be. But God made me fearfully and wonderfully. And He fashioned me that way in my mother's womb. God did that. He fashioned you the same way. When you begin to understand that you're not too tall, you're not too short, you're not too thin, you're not too fat, you're not too nearsighted, too farsighted. You don't have something you shouldn't have. You have what God put there so you could be a witness to how God ministers to you in those situations. You didn't have bad parents. You just learned how to have crisis management skills real early. Or you had an opportunity to learn them. You didn't have a dysfunctional family. You had a normal family that related different than everybody else around you. And you had to learn how to relate to people who have differences. That don't relate healthily. That doesn't make it bad. It means you had to learn. God gave you an opportunity because you could handle it. God did not put you in a place where you could not handle your life. If He did, He wouldn't have put you there. And when it's time for things to change, God will affect the change. Because He knows the right time to do things. I'm glad God put me into that brace and had my sister died at a younger age and had a mole on my face until I got it cut off a couple years ago. I'm glad all that stuff was there because I'd have been an egotistical, ugly kid with a bad mouth otherwise telling people how wonderful I was. I was bad enough having six older sisters, let alone that. Could you imagine? I'd have been arrogant. People don't understand why I'm not arrogant having six older sisters. Maybe because I had six older sisters, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, God had a plan for us. He still does. You're still here. There's still things you can do for Him. There's still things that you're working through in your life that bless other people. You know, I used to think that my youngest sister and I would never like each other. We wanted to kill each other so bad, so many times. I was hoping I'd never see her again when she went off to the Air Force, went to Germany. True. And I was glad she was gone my senior year in high school so I could live alone with my parents and have my rule of the roost. Nobody telling on me. I liked it. It took about 5 more years after that before I started to like my sister. Now she's a very dear friend. You know why? Because she understands the commonality that we had growing up. That we talk about things, and I'm her memory. Because she doesn't remember a lot of her childhood anymore. And I'm her memory. And she says, what happened when I was 10? What did I do? What was I like? And I'll tell her. Because I remember all that stuff. I'm cursed with a good memory. Hers also. But what I want to share with you and why I share that with you is because the commonality that we share now is a blessing. Now, you remember that time we tried to kill each other? She goes, which one? She remembers all those. She doesn't remember other stuff, but she remembers that. What I'm trying to say is, when God binds us, at that time, it was a tragic life for me, or a tragic moment. But years looking back, it brought us together. You think about that. You think about people in your family and people you struggled with when you were a few years ago. And you say, boy, life's just tough. And you see how God brought you through that. You look back at those people and you feel connected. At that time, you're saying, God, my life isn't right. You don't know what you're doing. And God just smiling, saying, you're so impatient. Where's your faith? David says this, so I love this. He says that your works are marvelous. I love this 14th verse. That's where he's saying he's fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows. But my brain, my emotions, no. But my soul knows, because God knitted my soul and it doesn't change. My soul is not changing. No matter what happened to me, my soul was preserved. No matter what tragedy or joys I had, my soul stayed tucked in, preserved. It was my psyche, my emotions, my thought process. Those things were affected by that. But your soul does not get changed by those things. It stays protected by God. And that's why he says, my soul knows that God made me this way. And whenever I start listening to that part of me inside where God has made me, it knows who my Creator is. It knows. It understands. As a matter of fact, one of the things that began to help me see this is those two fellas in Luke, I think it's 24, where they're on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus has died, and they're walking, talking about the events, and it's Sunday morning. And Jesus walks alongside them. And he opens up the scripture, but they don't know it's Jesus. And they sit and they get to where they're going, to Emmaus, and they invite Jesus in to eat. And he comes and sits down and breaks bread with them. And as soon as they recognize, well, that's Jesus, he disappears, vanishes. And this is what they said to each other. Did our hearts not burn within us while he shared the scriptures with us on the road and taught us? You see, God knows us, and there's a part of us that intimately knows God. And when you begin to match up with the purpose he's made you with, life doesn't hurt anymore. It begins to make sense. All your experiences begin to roll in and you say, well, that's why I went through that. That's why this happened. That's why that happened. My heart now begins to understand it. I feel like I'm coming alive. That's what happened for me a couple years ago. When I turned 40, I started thinking about purpose. What was I here for? What was I all about? I thought I was here to turn 40 for a while. I'll tell you, that was a good time. I like going and talking about that, but that's not what I'm trying to get at. It's at that point in my life, I began to ask God, I've been here 40 years, what's next? What's next? It took him a while, but he molded me until last December to reveal another purpose. And when he revealed that purpose, all the pieces fell in place. Kind of like a key turning the cylinder. You know, if you ever open a lock, it kind of looks like this. That's why the door lock works. But when a key comes in and turns it, it lines up the cylinders like this. So it's straight. And you can turn that knob. Or the safe. Or whatever. Those tumblers line up perfectly in line. Well, that's what happened. And when that happened, an old friend of mine, someone who's known me 16 years, said, you're different. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're stable. You're not all over the place. You're not jumping here and there. You're not wishy-washy. You're focused. You're passionate. You really got something going on to change you. You've been stabilized. What is it? I said, I found my purpose. Every last part of my body, my soul, my mind, and emotions are all going the same way. When you're in a dysfunctional family, your purpose is every which way to survive. If you don't like what you look like, you're just protecting your own emotional psyche. Do I look good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I fast enough? Do people think I am a likable person? You know, you're all over the place. But when all those pieces that are pointing every different direction come together, you say, I know who I am. I belong to God. He made me this way, and my purpose is to give Him glory in this aspect. And that's all I'm going to worry about. Someone doesn't like me, that's fine. I got my purpose to guide my life, not whether or not you like me. What matters to me is that God loves me, He made me this way, and I like me this way because God does. I'm happy being in my skin, and to tell you the truth, I'm very happy to be in my skin. I couldn't have said that 5 years ago. I would have said, I'm getting there. I got there. I like this life now. I like that everything's going the same direction, in focus. And when this happens, and you begin to see your purpose and God's plan for your life, you can do what I did over the last couple months. You don't have to, but you can. I went through all my stuff and got rid of stuff that didn't match my purpose. I had 15 different directions I was going in my life. I want to do this hobby. I want to do that. I want to have some time for this and that. You know, I got rid of the stuff that I said, I'll never do that. You ever went around my mother's house, you'd think she had 30 things she wants to accomplish and she doesn't have time to die. She'll have 30 more years to get all this stuff done that she's leaving around the house. I said, Mom, why don't you just pick a couple things? She says, I don't know which one I want to do. Still ambivalent. Don't tell her I said that. Thank you. But it's true. She was sitting, I'm telling on my mother. I'm telling on my mother. There you go. So she was sitting there on her chair just the other day. I was sitting there. I said, what you doing? She says, I'm doing some beadwork. I said, what are you making? I'm making little coin purses. And I said, how many have you got? She says, this is my fourth one. I said, who wants them? She says, nobody. I said, nobody. You bought all the beads, the patterns, you're making these little coin purses for what reason? She says, it's fun. And I said, what do you do with them? I don't know. It's like a jigsaw puzzle that you can't figure out. Sooner or later, you've got to get rid of stuff that doesn't feel good in your life. That doesn't feel like it's a part of who you are. And God's trying to weed it out with the Holy Spirit to get rid of the garbage and sinful nature. And He's trying to get your mind focused on Him. And we're still going, I don't know what way I'm going. And David says, and this is after he becomes king, he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You made me this way. You knew your thoughts for me. My soul knew it before I did. And when I learned it, my soul smiled and said, everything's together now. Which is why David could be successful in what he did. He found his place and purpose. I wrote a song, and this is the song I listened to yesterday that brought this sermon to my mind. There was a line in there. And when I wrote this line, it was really tough for me to affirm myself in this song. But the line was this, to God, tell me I am the way you wanted me. That was about 5 years ago. I said, God, tell me that I turned out the right way. That I wasn't somehow messed up in the system. I need to know. And when God can affirm you, and I hope that He's doing that for you today, is you are the way He wants you to be. He made you the way you are. And you're fine like that. You're okay. You're a good person. You're the way God wanted you to be. Your experiences weren't wrong. They brought things to your life that no one else may have ever gotten. Those are gifts. They've made you the person you are. And you are a beautiful, unique individual. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and your experiences line up with what you could handle. God says that. He has plans for you. He has plans for you to survive. But more than that, to give you hope and a future and prosper you. Because of what you went through, not in spite of it.
That's the message the Lord has on my heart today. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us and telling us that you love us and adore us. We are the way you wanted us to be. Sometimes we forget that, and it scares us to own up to that. But you love us. And when we look in the mirror, Heavenly Father, may we see your creation, your heart, and your life making us who we are. And when we see our face in the mirror, each time, Heavenly Father, may we say, I am loved. I am lovable, and I have a call to fulfill. And I'll do that faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a servant to you. Heavenly Father, when we do that, may we find our place and our life line up completely with what you meant for us to be. Amen.